Oh, good. Me too. It's hot.
I'll be Hillary Duff if you're Haley. This is a delicious dish.
Oh my god. Oh, we should be tasting. We should totally do it.
Let's get some food up.
Everybody, that was Soul Finger by the Barcaes. This is Rachel Wharton. I am the deputy editor of Edible Brooklyn and Edible Manhattan, and this is Brooklyn Eats on heritageradionetwork.com. In New York City, there's a particular type of foodie, the chow hound, the urban adventurer who likes to drag 15 of their friends out on the 7 train to the very end and take them out to find meat on a stick and the special secret dumpling that only exists in corner pockets of a fancy mall. And all of us, if you're one of those, I am, dream of one day actually doing food tours for a living. And my guest today, Mara Campbell. Mara, say hello.
Hello, world. This is Mara from Rum and Blackbird Tasting Tours.
.com.
Thank you.
She did exactly that. She decided to quit her job as a high-paid food PR person and start her own food walking tours. And actually, she just told me that she's going to be featured in this month's which magazine?
Shape magazine, the June issue, page 192.
192. Tell them what for.
It will be jobs that make you fat because yes. I'm constantly eating.
Yes, I told you it was a dream job.
Side note, I didn't actually gain weight while doing my job. It's just incredibly hard to lose weight.
Well, how long have you been doing tours?
I've been doing food tours since September of 2009. So not that long. I'm still new.
Yeah, so you still could gain weight.
I still could gain weight. But I pay a lot of money to Crunch each
month. I'm teasing you. But Mara, should also note, is in addition to being a fantastic cook, running some of the best events and helping run some of the best events of the city and working for a top-notch PR firm, is also a graduate student at the in the food studies program at New York University. So that's her street cred, so you know that her food tours are not just fluff.
No, and I also went to the Culinary Institute of America.
Yes.
So I know what I'm talking about when it comes to the food.
So what I like to talk to people who have funky food jobs and kind of ask them how they came to do it and why and what were some of the things they didn't realize that were going to have to do when they did it. And so Mara, how did you decide? I mean, everybody sits around and dreams about, you know, showing people where to eat and why and when for a living. I mean, if you're like me. But I mean, when did you actually decide to do this for a living?
Well, if anyone's ever worked in PR, they may know how hard it is to constantly get turned down and have people tell you no, they're not going to cover the item that you're pitching. And even though I was pitching food items, a lot of times it was hard for people to write about what I was doing. So anyways, basically being in PR is a tough job, and I was looking for something that would make me really happy but also bring a lot of happiness to people that I was working with. And I was in Italy trying really hard to think about what this job would be. And Italy is a really magical place. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, my boyfriend would pick a museum or another cultural point of interest. And I would map out the two or three or four or five areas in between that had delicious, amazing food. And I thought, if I can do this out in Italy, where I don't live, but I can do all this research, why can't I do that in the neighborhood where I live in New York City in Hell's Kitchen?
So right now your tours are only in Hell's Kitchen.
I'm only in Hell's Kitchen, and this is very new, but there's some plans in the works to expand to Jackson Heights.
Sweet.
Yes.
Excellent. Yes. So when you, I mean, how do you, okay, so can I just be like, okay, dude, I'm doing a food tour. Meet at my house. Let's go. Or are there like some actual things that you have to do, check before you can make this happen? And how did you find out about them?
There are a lot of checklists to go down when you have a food tour. And I went on a lot of food tours, and I saw that the most seamless ones have arrangements with the chefs and the restaurateurs beforehand. So I went around, I had printed up my whole mission statement, and before approaching the chefs that I wanted to, I combed through my neighborhood and making sure that I left no culinary stone unturned. And I had my running list of 15 places and I really had to narrow it down. So I approached all the people, the top tier that I wanted, and some of them worked out, some of them didn't work out. And it's all created this amazing list of places. And it's great, the ones that didn't end up working out, even though I was so eager for them to work out. I really wanted barbecue. Didn't work out.
Which barbecue place?
Daisy May.
Oh, cool.
We stop outside there and I tell them all about Daisy May, all about Adam Perry Lang's amazingness. It hasn't developed that way yet. It doesn't mean that it cannot. Adam, if you're listening, call me.
From London.
Yeah.
Where you're hanging out with Jamie Oliver.
And I pimp your cookbook all the time. And basically, no matter what the restaurant scenario is, if I do taste there or if I don't, I am your walking publicist. I tell people everything that's going on in your restaurant. And I would know more if you told me.
Wait, so just to backtrack a bit. So you went on all these food tours without naming names, unless you really want to. What was the worst one and why?
I don't want to name names. Okay. But the worst one for me was probably not the tour's fault, but it was just me and my would-be partner. And that made the tour seem very loosey-goosey for this woman who was supposed to be leading us in a structured way, which is what I was there to learn.
So it's just the two of you?
It was just the two of us, but I lead tours all the time. I can do a minimum of two people, and people end up loving that because it's a very private, intimate tour, and I can focus on their needs. But
meaning
what I tell them. I don't necessarily change a route. Uh-huh. However, that's for my public tours, which means you can go onto my site at any time and purchase a ticket. Versus private tours, those I custom make to you. If you write me an email at maura@rumandblackbird.com, then I would write back to you and work with you on what it is you want on your tour. So private is still structured well, and the public is very structured. But when I was testing out tours, I was looking for structure, and the worst tour did not have the structure I was looking for, and the leader was paying the entire time, and I didn't like that. I liked tours that seemed that everything was planned beforehand.
You didn't notice? You mean like, so the tour leader would go in and like plop down a five and come out with six buns or something and everyone would taste
right.
It.
Yeah. And I personally don't like that. Maybe being in New York, we like a bit of VIP feeling,
right?
And knowing that there's someone expecting us, and at each of my tasting stations, someone is expecting us.
So is that when you go in, you feel like you're getting something that no one else can? Like you're not just walking in and buying something on the street. It's like you're getting some insider knowledge. Someone's there.
We get insider knowledge. We don't necessarily get a special menu item, but I've done all the work for you, so we know the best thing to order at every place that we visit.
And is it, wait, so what kind of restaurants are there? Do you try and do a mix of hole in the wall or VIP? Is it all VIP for this particular tour?
I would say we get VIP treatment in the fact that we come in and we're served immediately, and we don't necessarily have to wait for the entire line to be gone. But we go to a tiny little taqueria called La Rosita on 47th Street between 10th and 11th, right across from Sullivan Street Bakery. And they're a family-owned and operated business. Their daughter is running around. She's 2 years old. And if they have orders to fill, we're going to wait.
Uh-huh.
But we still have the most amazing authentic taco. And a lot of times when I talk to people in our world, they ask me where I go on the tour. And I tell them that I go to a very authentic Mexican taqueria that's a deli in Hell's Kitchen. And they often think that it's Tehuzingo. But the secret is Tehuzingo gets all the press and all the, what do you call
media
it?
Media love.
There you go, because it's on 10th Avenue and not many people know about La Rosita. They don't even have a website. So that's what
I
appreciate.
Wait, Tehuzingo has a website? That actually blows my mind.
They're covered a lot.
Yeah.
By Eater, by Serious Eats.
By me.
By you. I mean, La Rosita is just a half a block around the corner.
Wait, so how far do you go? I mean, so the first time you ever did it, I mean, you're pretty thorough. So you're not just like heading out there and like, oh my God, I was expecting everyone to be able to follow me for 4.5 hours.
Oh no.
And I had to totally adjust your plan.
No.
But, I mean, how do you figure out how far people can walk and what they can eat without feeling disgusting by the end of the day?
Well, I did a lot of friends and family tours, so I had a lot of friends and family guinea pigs. That's what that means when you use the term friends and family, as restaurants do as well. So that's what I had picked up from my restaurant years, and they gave me tons of fabulous feedback. How much food was enough? What was too little? And what I ended up doing is very custom that I don't think a lot of other tours do, is I make sure that we have 6 tastings in person. And, well, they're all in person, but one of the tastings, the final tastings, which is Biscotti di Vecchio, and you can buy her stuff on the website if you don't want to come taste it on my tour, or both.
Fool.
But we give little samples of Biscotti di Vecchio for everyone to take home. So if you are feeling too full, you don't have to have that treat at that particular moment. You can put it in your bag, save it for later, try it out with some coffee, tea, or wine.
So what didn't work?
What didn't work?
Yeah.
Well, there was one restaurant which I absolutely loved, and I loved going there. I loved their food. I loved their beer. I loved their beer garden. But the atmosphere of the restaurant is far too hectic to accommodate the type of service I require for my tours.
You're so professional.
So I had to look for something else. And what came about was fabulous. At that time, Shay Shay, Asian-inspired sandwich shop by Chef Angelo Sosa, came onto the scene. And
in Hell's Kitchen?
I've never been there. It's amazing. And Angelo's going to be on Top Chef DC. He's won tons of awards and has an interesting background, has worked with famous French chefs. So he has a very high-end background. He actually went to the same culinary school as me and has worked with Jean George and has worked with Alain Ducasse. But here he is making sandwiches in Hell's Kitchen. So that's such a treat for us. And I love to share that with people that come to Hell's Kitchen.
Us, you mean people who live in Hell's Kitchen?
Yes. Yes. And those who work in Midtown that make the Western trek. Because people in Midtown think of Hell's Kitchen as their faraway neighbor. And we're close enough that you can come visit, but far away enough that we're not Midtown.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right. It has much more of a neighborhood.
There is a neighborhood.
Not that Midtown doesn't have a fantastic neighborhood feel.
It has a really great vibe and smell.
Yes.
But the thing about Hell's Kitchen is that if you stick to 9th Avenue, which most of our vendors are on, you have a feeling of not necessarily locals. And so we make a point to bring everyone to 10th Avenue, to 11th Avenue, to see how Hell's Kitchen changes. Because Hell's Kitchen runs all the way from 8th Avenue to the Hudson River. And we don't start on 8th Avenue. That's a little too commercial for us. So we stay away from there. And the further we go west, the more things change. And you have a much more neighborhood feel, and the people start to thin out, the businesses change, the buildings change. It's amazing to watch.
Who are the people on your tour?
We get a lot of New Yorkers. We get a lot of visitors. I've had people from other countries, people from other parts of the states. Anyone really, to be honest.
It's usually a total mix. It isn't more New Yorkers than or more tourists.
It's a total mix. One time I had a tour with just tourists, it blew my mind.
Why?
Because I'd never had that scenario. I've had a lot of New Yorkers, a lot of my neighbors come onto the tour.
Really?
And they're shocked at what we eat. They have no idea that these places are here. They've been living in the hood for about 5 to 10 years.
And have been to the same places for the past 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, the same places, and not necessarily the ones that I take them to. So it gives my neighbors a new experience. And I also give them tidbits about the hood, and I'm not a historian by any means, but all of my food research lends itself to some sort of historical background. And I uncovered this great thing about Hell's Kitchen. We used to have patty markets, and we had these little street carts of food.
What do you mean by patty?
Well, the term patty wagon came from the Hell's Kitchen little patty market street carts.
Uh-huh.
And it was in Hell's Kitchen around 38th Street and 9th Avenue. And it was underneath the elevated train that ran down 9th Avenue, the first in all of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And
would that be the High Line?
It connected to the High Line. I don't believe it was the High Line. They called it the L because it was elevated.
Yeah.
But all of these great places were underneath this train around 38th Street and Hell's Kitchen. And that's what Hell's Kitchen was known for. You could come there and get baked goods, spices, and other things for your home. And when LaGuardia was mayor, he felt like that was a little too dirty. So he forced all those businesses inside and disappeared.
And that's why we also have Essex Street Market and the famous one, which is Arthur Avenue in the Bronx.
Exactly. Yeah.
But we actually have to take a quick break. But when we come back, I'm going to ask Mara if there's a covered market in Hell's Kitchen?
There are a few. Visit them.
We'll talk about that when we come back. I can't mistake. Follow me,
into a solo, get in the flow, and you can pitch it like a photo. Music makes mellow, maintains to make melodies for MCs, motivates the breaks, I'm everlasting. I can go on for days and days with rhyme displays that engrave deep as x-rays. I can take a phrase that's rarely heard, flip it, now it's a daily word. I can get iller than armor, killing bomb, but no alarm. Rock Kimmel, remain calm. Self-esteem make me super superb and supreme. Before a microphone, still out of vein. This was a tape, I wasn't supposed to break. I was supposed to wait, but let's motivate. I wanna see it and keep following and swallowing. Taking the making, biting and falling. Brothers try and others die to get the formula, but I'ma let you sweat, you still ain't warm. You a step away from frozen, stiff as if you're posing. Dig into my brain as the rhyme gets chosen. So follow me, or what you're thinking, you were first. Let's travel at magnificent speeds around the universe. What could you say as the earth gets further and further away? Planets are small as the balls of clay, astray into the Milky Way. World's out of sight, far as the eye can see, not even a satellite. Now stop and turn around and look, as you stand in the darkness, your knowledge took. So keep staring, soon you suddenly see a star. You better follow it, cause it's the R. This is a lesson, if you're guessing it, if you're borrowing, hurry, hurry, step right up and keep following the leader.
Follow the leader, I can't mistake. Follow the leader, I can't mistake.
Time mission, vision of prison. I listen. In this journey, you're the journal, I'm the journalist. Am I eternal or an eternalist? I'm about to flow long as I could possibly go. Keep you moving, cause the crowd says so dance. Cuss, rip your pants, every beat on the blaze, bleeding to death, call an ambulance. Pull out my weapon and start to squeeze. A magnum as a microphone, murder.
This is Rachel. That was, first I want to say that was Follow Leader by Eric B. and Rakim, which is a totally rocking song. And I am playing that in honor of my guest today, which is Mara Campbell from Rum and Blackbird, which are tours of Hell's Kitchen and hopefully soon Jackson Heights. This is Rachel Wharton. I am the deputy editor of Edible Brooklyn and Edible Manhattan. And this is Brooklyn Eats on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. And now we're talking to Mara about the fact that she has a foodie dream job, which is leading people on tours of this fantastic food city and showing them the great things to eat and why they should be eating them, and the backstories behind the foods and the chefs. And we were actually just talking about how you weave in history of your neighborhood, and a lot of times people from your neighborhood come on the tours, and they've lived next door to something that you're showing them, and they've never even noticed it before. So I'm actually curious as to why New Yorkers seek you out, and why they decide to go on a tour of Hell's Kitchen as opposed to something like Flushing or Chinatown.
I think there's a few reasons for that. A, it's just that New Yorkers are always searching for food. I think it's so a part of our culture. And I also think that Hell's Kitchen is very underrepresented in the food world, which is another reason why I chose the neighborhood. Yep. Not many people go to the neighborhood for fabulous eats. I know when I was living in Washington Heights, the only neighborhood that I wanted to live in was Hell's Kitchen because there are 14 restaurants per block.
Wait. How did you find that out? And is that more or less than the rest of the city?
It could be more or less than the rest of the city, yeah. But Me Noodle Shop on 9th Avenue won my heart. Hello Berlin won my heart before I even lived in the neighborhood. And I needed to bring myself closer to these places so I could eat there all the time.
You really wanted to move to Hell's Kitchen for the food?
Yes, I have a problem.
But why a problem?
It just is. Because it's an occupational hazard.
Well, it's exactly what you were saying. It's like most people are like, oh, if I'm going to move to a neighborhood for the food, they're going to move to the West Village or Chinatown or
no.
The East Village.
Lies.
No. Lies.
I live for German food. I live for really good beer. And the funny thing is I don't even do tastings at Me Noodle Shop and Hello Berlin. And I think also a lot of people think of Hell's Kitchen as being a place for tons of Thai food.
Right.
Which it is. But we don't have any Thai food on our tasting tour, and we don't really have any repeated cuisines on our tasting tour. I don't think people know how varied Hell's Kitchen is.
So actually, one of the things that you brought up was interesting, and from a marketing perspective, if you were going to do your own tour, is that you feel very, very passionate about the neighborhood that you are taking people through, and B, as you said, so wisely said, it's underrepresented. And it was kind of at first you're like, oh, I'm going to take people to Jackson Heights, I'm going to take people to Flushing. But then you're like, no, why did you decide on Hell's Kitchen? Was it kind of like a light bulb of positioning?
I don't think it was even a light bulb. It just made the most sense. It was always there. It was for me, it was, if that's what I was going to do, that's where I'm going to start. It's my neighborhood. I love it. I live it every day. I know where to eat. And I think that knowledge should be shared.
Yeah. So how are you researching Jackson Heights? How are you going to take the same love that you have? How are you going to turn the success of a tour in a place that you know and love and are a natural booster for, to a place that's super complex, has a million cuisines and cultures, and is well covered by other people? Well, how's it going to be different?
Well, I believe in using your resources, and I have a fabulous friend and colleague whose name is Jamie Feldmar. She has written for Edible Queens many a time. And as you know, the edible people are very knowledgeable.
The edible people.
So I am harnessing her background, and we're going to collaborate together on bringing tasters the best of Jackson Heights.
So you're taking the same approach. You're going to go to all these different businesses. Is that a completely different ball game than Hell's Kitchen? I mean, Hell's Kitchen, you're dealing with, you know, professional chefs. I mean, in Jackson Heights, I imagine some of these people, there's a language barrier.
Well, to be honest, what you just said about professional chefs, the only true professional chef that
on your
was
trip
on in Hell's Kitchen that was the easiest was Angelo Sosa.
Right.
Everyone
else. And he was
else,
recently added.
Right. Well, not recently added. He's been there from the beginning, but from the first Friends and Family tour, I knew that one of the tastings that had to go had to go. So right. I had to fill that hole with Shay Shay immediately. Shay Shay means thank you in Mandarin, so Shay Shay for listening.
Yes.
But he was the only professional chef that understood it from a marketing perspective and understood it from a PR perspective. And the other places had to be sold a bit.
Uh-huh.
And especially La Rosita. Their faces were in sheer awe. They straight up asked me, so what do we have to do? And mm-hmm. I said, nothing. I am going to bring people to you. They will learn about you. They will eat your food, and I will pay for it all.
And so what do you usually eat when you're there at that taqueria?
Well, when I go there, I have a lot of things, which is the problem. Yeah. But when I take my tasters there, we typically have a chorizo taco for the meat eaters, and the non-meat eaters, we either have a nopales taco or a papas con rajas. And recently, they've been making a lot more tamales for the weekends, which I'm begging them to expand to the weekdays so I can offer them all the time. But the problem is they make them in limited quantity, and there are other people that get in there before me.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we serve for the most part. I would love to serve the tamales all the time because they're exceptionally good.
Okay, so go through the list of everything I would eat on your tour.
All right, we've got empanadas.
And check.
They're not your traditional empanadas. They come in a crispy corn crust, which gives a completely different experience than your regular flaky crust.
Uh-huh.
Then we have...
What country are those empanadas from?
Well, empanadas have a really interesting past, and this is what we go over when we're at Empanada Mama, how empanadas came to this country. And they started out being introduced to Spain and Portugal by the Moors, who were a very nomadic culture, and they were influenced by Chinese dumplings and Indian samosas.
Right.
And then when the Portuguese and Spanish conquistadores came to the Americas, they brought the little empanadas with them. So that's why if you go to other smaller Latin countries, you'll see their own variations because the indigenous people really latched on to that food right away. So the corn ones, we say, are kind of Colombian, but I've had people come on the tour and they're like, well, I've had really similar ones in Brazil, but they were square shaped. So that's what I like to do also, is engage my tasters in their food experiences from elsewhere, because A, it just enhances what I know, which is what I love. Come to me and teach me things, please. I'm not just here to talk into your face and feed you, but I want to learn what you have to tell me.
Right. And also, if you're actually a member of a food tour, it always makes you feel like such a badass to trump the tour leader.
Which I welcome. You get a free hand sanitizer squirt.
if you give you a new knowledge.
Exactly.
You guys hear that?
Exactly. So we also have black and white milkshakes at Island Burgers and Shakes.
Uh-huh.
And they have...
Wait, does everyone get a whole milkshake?
They get a special size just for us because okay. if
like
they
a have, like the McDonald's junior size milkshake.
Probably a little bit bigger, but we have 7 tastings on this tour.
Uh-huh.
So you need to save room.
No, that's what I already feel like an empanada, a taco, which I know is coming in the future, and a milkshake.
Okay. Right.
Okay. So number 3.
Well, just to back up my empanada and milkshake thinking is hit them hard, hit them fast. Because that's how I like to eat.
Right. Yeah.
Total side note.
Because people are probably, they've starred themselves for the past 24 hours. Are like, hell yeah.
I think they're excited and I think they're really hungry. Because whenever I go on food tours, I'm like, forget it. I'm not going
to
eat.
Yeah. Because, well, it's like, that's another thing. Well, and I want to get to item three in a second. But I know that like you, when you have to do things like this for a living, you learn how to pace yourself. And you're like, I'll just have a sip of this milkshake. I know more is coming. This may not be the best thing. I'm going to save it. But if you're not a professional, you just stuff your face and you're like done by item four.
It's true. Like, that's why I have controlled tasting portions. And I've really thought out how much you're going to be eating. And we walk about 2 miles. So that really helps the digestion process as well. But where we go for the third place is a place called Ghazala Place.
Oh yeah, I love this place.
It's amazing. We just said place 7 times. I know. In 20 seconds.
The best part is that it's Drew's food, so that rhymes.
It's Drew's.
It's like, this is wordplay.
Yes, and Drew's is spelled, in case you want to look it up, D-R-U-S-E or D-R-U-Z-E, and it's the only Drew's restaurant in all of New York City. Right. She is opening a second location. But this is,
I mean, the tour, like just having this woman, this chef that you're talking about, just having her, does she talk to the people?
Sometimes.
I mean, just being able to meet her is like worth that tour alone, because she's like the only person doing that kind of food in the city.
The only person. And what differentiates her from other quote unquote Mediterranean restaurants is that whenever she goes back to her home in northern Israel, she gets all her spices from there. She doesn't use any local vendors.
That's got to be illegal, right? She's like smuggling them all in her suitcase.
She does a lot of illegal things.
Yes.
She also makes her own goat cheese in her restaurant.
Like a real fresh soft cheese.
A fresh, amazing goat cheese. She gets the milk from New Jersey, brings it back to her restaurant and makes it into yogurt, which she uses in a lot of other recipes. Then she makes it into cheese, which is what we have in our burekas. And I
serve, so you eat the bureka.
We eat the bureka.
But do people? I wouldn't even know where to begin. The bureka is like the must-have item.
It's the must-have item.
But then do people? And then there's like her pita bread.
Her pita bread. We sometimes get to see her watching it. I mean, excuse me. We sometimes get to watch her making it because it's in the front of the restaurant. And her pita bread is just a mixture of water and whole grains that she grinds herself, which is also a little crazy to think about.
She does?
She does.
See, like seriously, this is like stop three. And your mind's already blown in like 5 different ways.
Exactly. And what's amazing about the bureka that I didn't even mention yet is that she makes the dough that is very croissant-like. And I had it for years without knowing her. And I thought it was just filled with butter. Mm. But she told me how she makes it. And she only uses olive oil. So by
Are you kidding? She makes a flaky crust pastry with olive oil?
Yeah. So it takes her 3 days to make one batch because she's constantly chilling it to solidify the olive oil. Think about how olive oil heats up so quickly with your hands.
If you're listening to this and you have no idea what a bureka is, this is like the moment when your life changed.
Then you need to come on my tasting tour.
Yes.
And
do you go to Jardin too?
We do not.
Bureka number two.
We don't go there. But our fourth stop is Shay Shay, where we have amazingly fabulous pork buns. And don't worry if you don't eat pork, we have chicken salad for you, and we have market vegetables that come on their deliciously plush rice flour bun. It's as soft as my sheets that are 7 million thread count.
Shay Shay.
Thank you.
Wait, so so that's number four.
Mm-hmm.
We have only 2 minutes.
Number five is my chorizo taco at La Rosita. Number six is biscotti di vecchio at the most lovely home store.
Which you can take with you.
You can take with you, and you can also order it online when you want more, biscottidivecchio.com. And we visit Domus for that. Domus is a home shop that's filled with the most beautiful handmade things from around the world. And then we go to Poseidon, the oldest bakery in Hell's Kitchen. It's 87 years old, and we have Afali.
Wait, where is Poseidon?
Poseidon is on 9th Avenue, right next to Rudy's Bar, where you can get $3 pitchers and free hot dogs.
I'm actually glad that you brought up Rudy's. I have to ask you what the hell you just said you could get at Poseidon.
Poseidon, we have Afali, which is very similar to baklava, but it comes in a coil, and it's made only with pistachios and honey that's made with bergamot.
So are they Greek?
They are Greek through and through.
I did not even know that existed. That's next to Rudy's.
Yes. And it is the only Greek bakery in all of Hell's Kitchen. They make their own phyllo dough by hand. There are only two, possibly three other places in the country that do that. They pull it until it's tight.
Even in Astoria?
Even in Astoria.
Right. And I guess what's so amazing to me is that why is Do you know why Hell's Kitchen is so diverse in that weird way, where it's like it's diverse, there's like one of everything, and so few neighborhoods are like that?
Because we've had such an intense influx of people from beginning to end to never ending, and we've had Irish, Italian, Greek, German, Mexican,
right,
other Hispanics as well. So there's a lot of people, and Gazala of Gazala Place is Druze, and she's the only one.
Yeah. I mean, I guess what's interesting is that so many neighborhoods, it's like they have their wave, and then they have their next wave, and then their next wave. But and there's, it's only a few places in the city, like Astoria and maybe Bay Ridge,
right?
Where and Hell's Kitchen, where you've like at least one place stays with every wave, and one you end up with stays. This amazing diversity. And like Mara was saying, it's like no one. And Hell's Kitchen is completely overlooked. No one realizes that it's there.
No one.
Are you
knows.
Sure you actually want to take people on these tours? Don't you want to keep them all secrets?
No, I don't, because like I said, it's my neighborhood and I want it to flourish. And the whole point of my tour is to really support my hood and these amazing people that work there.
Okay. And so right before we end, you were saying you brought up Rudy's, which I think is also awesome, because I think you could practically do the drunkard's tour of dive bars in Hell's Kitchen.
And I will.
Okay.
There's a Bruise and
you can pay $25 extra to just like go for this, like to just stay with you for the next hour after the tour.
But I think we're going to do bowling in addition to the
Well, you can get bruising. A yard of beer.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay, before I tell all these fine listeners who our fabulous sponsor is for the evening, five dive bars in Hell's Kitchen. So once people have taken your tour, which you should, where do you go drink afterwards?
The Pony Bar.
Does that count as a dive bar?
It's not a dive bar, it has the most amazing beers. Mm. It's a newer place, and every beer is American Craft Brewery, $5. Amazing.
Every beer. Okay, number two.
Rudy's, because it's right next door to Poseidon Bakery,
and
I have been known to take my guest chefs. Anita Lowe went there with me, and we had quite a time. All I gotta say is a man with missing teeth saying that he's always wanted to marry an Oriental.
Right. Yes.
There we go.
How many hot dogs did Anita eat?
I think we each had two.
Oh, excellent. Okay, number three. Wait, what's that dive bar where the old man in the suit used to dance? It's right near. You never went there? Okay, this is. One of my friends used to work in the West 30s, and he would take us to this one bar. Oh my God! Someone email me who's listening and tell me what bar that was. There was an old, like a man in his 80s, and he would dance in a 3-piece suit every night. And it was like, oh God, it was like the Tunnel Bar or something like that.
That's amazing. I don't know where it is.
All right, so we still need a fourth and a fifth.
We've got the Gaff. We also hit Lansdowne End, which is the same owner as the Pony Bar. And of course, Hello Berlin has their own German beer garden in the back, which is a cinder block room. But it's technically outside.
Yes.
Yes.
Cinder block
room. That's it. That's the total.
Five dive bars.
And if I want to go fancy, I hit up Casalula, which opens at 5 for some wine and cheese. Jeez. And Ardesia, which opens way before the tour ends. So that's further west. And the owner is Mandy Oser, who also works as Eric Repair's assistant. So we've got some fine stuff happening in Hell's Kitchen.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. Okay. One last time, listeners, what's your website, Mara?
My website is www.rumandblackbird.com. I'll spell it out. No ampersand. And you can email me at any time at Mora, M-O-I-R-A, at rumandblackbird.com, because I'd love to feed you.
Yes. And this was sponsored by Barter House Wines. And this is Brooklyn Eats on heritageradionetwork.com.
Century, you remember me in history, not a mystery or memory. Drawn by nature, mind raised in Asia. Since you was tricked, I have to raise ya from the cradle to the grave. But remember, you're not a slave. Those movies were here to be much more than that. But we couldn't see because our mind was trapped.